who are still on their way traveling to this place. Keep and protect them. Bless those who have traveled, wherever they are, O Lord. Keep them safe and bring them back safely, O Lord. Take now control of this service in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. We greet you in the precious name of the Lord Jesus. Happy Sunday morning. Are you happy to be in his house? Amen. Amen. If you are not happy, there's something wrong. Amen. Maybe your dad has been pulling you. We have been to that stage, all of us at a certain stage, you know. Dad is pulling you to go to church. There are some things, there was a World Cup playing there. I need to watch Bulgaria playing, I don't know, Argentina. In our days, it was Maradona, you know. But if I have to look back now, I'll tell to my dad or my mom, thank you very much for what you did. It's only when you look back that you realize that it was for your good. Let's open our Bibles, Ephesians chapter 2 from verse 1 to verse 10. We are going to introduce a new topic today. Hopefully, we're going to lay a good foundation today so that when we'll have another opportunity to come back, we're going to build on that foundation. Ephesians 2 from verse 1 to 10. And you has he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversations in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desire of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. Amen. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace are we saved, and has raised us up together and made us sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are we saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. What a blessed reading. And if your heart doesn't shake reading such a scripture, you know you need some more good fellowship with God. Because this is the foundation of our salvation. This is the, you know, foundation on which we are built. We are going to introduce a little topic, salvation by grace. And today we are going just to look at the aspect, one aspect of it, unconditional covenant. Amen. We are going to look at that aspect there. Because as human beings, as believers, many times we think that we feel as if we have something to do. That human nature, when it comes to receiving something, you feel as if you have to give something to receive something. Amen. But we are going to look at our salvation. Our salvation, how God saved us. He saved us, as we read, by grace. It's not based on anything you did. Amen. I remember a few months back at the beginning of the year, we were talking about this topic in Carlo with the sisters, the brothers there. Brother Jesse, I know you were there, Sister Priya. It was a very good topic just to know, to try to understand what people know about salvation. I was asking them if simple questions. And you realize that sometimes we talk about things and we don't really know what we are talking about. I say, you know, what is salvation? I say, yeah, but salvation is salvation. You know, what is it? Why do you need salvation? You know, all these things, we are not going to go into that, but we just need to know, to understand today the way we were saved. We were saved. It was a free gift of God by grace. It has nothing to do with you. Amen. It has nothing to do with you. Let's read first what the prophet said. Now I want you to notice that in the beginning of Christianity, and I want you to notice, it wasn't because Abraham was a good man. It was because God elected and chose Abraham. It wasn't Abraham choosing God. It was God choosing Abraham. Can you see? It was, as it was then, so is it today. It isn't because my mother there is saved that I am saved. It's because God chose me in Christ. I want you to see it. Not you choosing yourself, not your choice. How much you prayed, when you turned a new page, you had nothing to do with it. Amen? You had no way at all of turning to the Lord. Your whole nature, your whole makeup was against God. God called you. Amen? Naturally, if God had to leave you, just imagine how your flesh will feel well when you are in sin. Amen. Sin is sweet, isn't it? Naturally, sin is very sweet. Just imagine robbing some money. Yeah. You didn't have to wake up 5 o'clock in the morning, going 5-8 hours, and at the end of the month you find yourself with €20,000. Wow. It's so sweet to go and enjoy. And naturally, if God doesn't stop you, that's what you are. Naturally, if God doesn't do something, we'll be killing each other here. Amen. That's our nature. But God had to do something. He said, in the Garden of Eden, when man sinned, look at the nature of a sinner hiding. But it should have been Adam calling God. It was Adam hiding and God calling Adam. That's the basis of salvation. That's the foundation of salvation. You see, that's the nature of a sinner, to hide, to run away, get behind something. And God calling. His grace, amazing grace. He said again, well, bless God, I tell you, someone could say, I got to seeking God. That's what many of us here say. Oh, I was seeking God. I seeked God so many years and I found him. It's human language, you know. We can understand you. But the prophet says there's no such a thing as you looking for God. There's no such a thing as you seeking God. He says, you never did seek God. Man never did seek God. There is no such a thing as man seeking God. Did you know that? It's God that seeks man. No, he says, no man can come to me except my Father draws him. Amen. And it has to take the Holy Spirit. When you say, I was seeking God, I was looking for God, look now the way the prophet explains it. It has to take the Holy Spirit to first put that desire in there for you to linger after God. Amen. Amen.
Even that desire you had to say, I was looking for God, I was seeking God. No, it was the Holy Spirit. It was God's voice that was calling, Adam, Adam, where are you? You heard that voice and you answered to the call. Yeah. Amen. And it's all that come to me, I'll give them everlasting life. Amen. We needed to put that foundation clear first so that we have all the clouds out of the way to understand that it's not you, it's not me, it's not my preaching, it's not your good works. It's entirely the grace of God. Amen. God took you, he found you, he saved you. Amen. Amen. Now, we are going to talk about the unconditional covenant. When God created man, the first covenant with man, between God and man, it was unconditional. Yeah. Amen. The very first covenant between God and man, that was the basis of God's dealing with man. It was an unconditional covenant. If we can go to Genesis 1, verse 26. I'm going to read quickly. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, God created him male and female. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, listen now, there's no condition. You'll dominate. You'll rule over this, you'll rule over that. God doesn't put a condition. And he said, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the living that moveth upon the earth. Full stop. There was no condition. I put you there, have dominion. Multiply, fulfill, everything. God didn't put a condition. And as long as they were under this covenant, sin didn't come. Amen. Amen. As long as Adam remained under this unconditional covenant, he was in perfect harmony with God. Amen. Amen. Then God established the first conditional covenant with Adam. Are you with me? Yes. It started with an unconditional covenant. Everything worked perfectly. Then God said, okay, Adam, I'm going to enter into a covenant with you, but this time I'm going to put a condition. That Genesis 2, from verse 15 to 17. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that you eat thereof you shall surely die. And the Lord God say, it is not good for the man be alone, and so forth. God put the first condition. The day you eat, you will die. Amen. Amen. Adam didn't ask God, but God, why from the beginning to now you didn't put conditions in our covenant? Why are you putting a condition now? I think Adam said, yes, God, I will keep your word. That's what I believe. And God said to Adam, you won't eat. The day you try, you'll die. Adam, instead of saying, I am just a man, it's hard for me to keep it. Adam thought that he would be able to keep a covenant between him and God. He thought that it will be by his strength. He said, yes, amen, I will enter into this covenant. He entered into the covenant, and before you know it, fall came. Amen. The fall came. We are just going to lay a foundation today. God realized that something is wrong here. He was just trying to find a way now to how to deal with man. Then he came to find Noah. He said, I will establish another covenant with Noah to see if this time it's going to work. Because with Adam, I tried, it didn't work. Let me now establish a covenant with Noah. And God, you know the story, the flood. After the flood, Noah was a righteous person before God, and God said, let me establish a covenant with you. But in that covenant, God puts some conditions as well. Let's read Genesis 9:8-11. He says, and God spake unto Noah with him, saying, if we start from verse 1, and God blessed Noah and his son, and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast and the earth. He renewed almost the covenant he made with Adam. Amen. Every moving thing that lives shall be meat for you. Even as the green herb, I give all to you everything. But listen now. God puts a condition, some conditions in the covenant. But flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, shall ye not eat. Almost same thing as in the beginning. You shall not eat. Amen. And surely your blood of your lives will I require. There's a condition. The day you eat, you will die. The day you eat blood or whatever, you will die. And surely I will require at the hand of every beast will I require it. And at the end of a man, at the end of every man, brother, will I require life of a man. Whosoever sheds man blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God, God made man. Be fruitful and multiply. Verse 8, and God spake unto Noah and to his sons, I behold, I establish my covenant with you, with your seed after you, and with every living creature, and so forth and so forth. God established a new covenant with Noah, but there's still conditions in the covenant. If you do, I will do. And Noah said, amen. Before long, Noah was drunk. Amen. Before long, the Tower of Babel was built. And the same God will say, because if God didn't make that oath that he won't destroy the world with the flood, he would have sent another flood after the Tower of Babel. And he said, okay, this time, I made some type of covenant with Noah. I won't destroy them, but I'll just disperse them. And they become idol worshippers and so forth and so forth. Out of that lineage of the Tower of Babel came Haram. Haram, who is, I think that's the name, Abraham's father. Is that the name, yeah? I don't want to say something. No, Terah. Terah, yeah. He moved to Haran, yes. So came Terah, Abraham's father. Remember, they came from the Tower of Babel, where it was idol worship, where it was wickedness, where it was people living according to their own desire. It's from that lineage that Terah came. It was not a special someone. Amen. Because remember, all the people that built the Tower of Babel were the descendants of Noah, the righteous. It was the righteous people that got corrupted and rebelled against God, amongst whom came Terah, Abraham's father. And he was living in the midst of those people, worshiping idols as everyone else. But out of his house, God said, I'm going to take Abraham. Amen. I'm going to take Abraham. As the prophet says, Abraham was not a special someone. He was just a sinner like all the sinners in the country. But God said, I will now establish a new covenant. I'll start now a new way of dealing with my people. Amen. And then he said, Abraham, I'll call you now. I've realized that putting conditions in my dealing with human beings, it will never work. This time, Abraham, I'll establish an unconditional covenant with you.
Amen. Then it starts with Genesis 12. I'm going to just run quickly through them. God calls Abraham. We are not going to read. You know the stories.
Abraham didn't do anything special. And God didn't ask Abraham anything special. But out of the blue, just God started telling Abraham, I will bless you. You will become.
The Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from the kindred and from your father's house, and I'll make you a great nation.
Out of nothing.
And I will bless you and make thy name great, and you shall be a blessing. And I'll bless them that bless you, and so forth.
God establishes now a new covenant with Abraham, which was not based on Abraham, you do this, I will do this. Abraham, you give this, I will give this. It was fully unconditional. Now, when you start to see the way Abraham started now conducting himself, you really realize the power of the unconditional covenant. Because Abraham made so many mistakes. From the time he left his country, you see, the Bible says, God told him, I will give you a land. He came to a place called Sichem. God told him, this is the land that I will give to you and your children. But Abraham didn't dwell there. The Bible says he kept on going south. But God said, this is the land I've given to you. He kept on going south. He established to a certain point where he said, this is the place I want to stay. He stayed there. After a few days, few years maybe, economic crisis, you know, recession. And he said, I will backslide. Abraham did backslide and went into Egypt. And over there, he made plans to lie. He made plans to do things because he moved out of the presence of God. Yes. Took his wife and made sin to enter even into his household. He got there. The very person that was the victim of his lie and deception, God, instead of punishing Abraham, who was the author of the lies and who brought Pharaoh into his deception, God said to Pharaoh, I will kill you. Amen. Because this man, that woman is that man's wife. Pharaoh said, but God, he told me. It was not me, it was him. God said, I will kill you. You see the power of the unconditional covenant. No matter what Abraham did, God didn't look at his mistakes, because that was not the basis of the covenant. Abraham comes back, bringing with him Agar and all the people that he brought. God didn't look at all that at all.
Amen. 2 minutes left. There's still so many things to say. Ugh.
And all the patriarchs lived under that covenant. Go and read your Bible. God never instituted anything from the patriarch. You know, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, all of them. There was no a partnership of you do this, I will do that. That's why Jacob could get away with all the wrong he was doing. Because he was under the unconditional covenant. Amen. He could deceive his brother. God said, amen. He could go and lie to his father-in-law. God said, amen. And God will punish his father-in-law instead of Jacob. God will cross as Esau instead of Jacob. Why? Because he was under that covenant. Are we together? To an extent where even go and read your Genesis 30, 30 to 35 maybe, Jacob entered into idol worship. You know that? He had some gods with him. God never got angry with Jacob. His wife stole her father's the gods. And they were running away. And when the father came to look for his gods, Jacob and his wife, they hid the gods. It's only when God told Jacob to go back to Bethel to worship him again that Jacob said, hey, I made a covenant. I made a promise with God. That if you bless me, remember that vision of Jacob, you know, asking to God. If you bless me and you take me and bring me back to my father's house, you will be my God. Then Jacob realized, I said to God that he only will be my God. I won't be having another God before him. But I still have those gods that my wife took from her country. It's only before he went to Bethel to worship God that he got rid of those gods. But God never got angry against him. God still blessed Jacob. Amen. Everything that he did, you know, even if you come to the other patriarchs, his 12 children, they did so many wrong. But they are still counted as the 12 tribes of Israel. Amen. They'll still have their thrones around the throne of God. They are named in Revelation by their tribe's name, despite everything they did. Why? Because they were under an unconditional covenant. Amen.
We are going to stop there. Then we'll see next time, God willing, how to take it a bit further. God bless you. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for granting us this wonderful opportunity to speak about these things of the kingdom, O Lord, to speak about the foundation of our salvation. Sometimes as human beings, we are led to believe that we are not doing so much, we are not working hard to win our salvation. And the devil pushes us to believe that it's because of our fasting, because of our sacrifices, because of our givings and tithes and everything. But we know all those are just the results of the salvation you provided, you made for us freely, O Lord. Help us to have our eyes open, and let us not be deceived by the devil to come and tell us that we need to do something. And sometimes it leads us into a realm where we start condemning ourselves, doubting of our salvation, O Lord. But you saved us forever, and we are your children, and we are heir of your kingdom. Of course, we have our shortcomings, but Heavenly Father, we are under that unconditional covenant. You are not looking at those shortcomings. The blood of Christ cleanses us of all sin. And we are more than overcomers. We are more than righteous by your blood, O Lord. Help your people to realize that and we live a victorious life. Help your people to take full possession of their inheritance, knowing that we are dealing with God under this unconditional covenant. Take now control of the rest of the service in Jesus' name. Amen.